Okay, we're starting at the bottom of Samachem and Bet. The Gemara has or brought the Braisa from Mikvos. The Braisa from Mikvos explains that a pipe that is carved prior to being placed into the ground, posel at the mikvah, causes a problem for the mikvah because it's classified as maim she'uvim, right? Water that is drawn rather than rainwater that's filling the mikveh. On the other hand, if it was kavot, he places the pipe, affixes it to the ground, and then carves the pipe in, then it's classified as mechuber lekarka. Mechuber lekarka, something that's attached to the ground, is not a problem for a mikveh, maim she'uvim, because it's called hamshacha, whatever, the water that runs off the ground into the mikveh, that is classified as rainwater, and there will be a kosher mikveh. The Gemara makes a statement, Mani, who's the author of this Mishnah Mikvos? The Gemara says, it's lo Rabbi Elezer, velo lo Chachamim. It's not Rabbi Elezer, it's not the Chachamim. So what the Gemara is after is, which Rabbi Elezer is it not? Right? Where do we have a din in Rabbi Elezer that teaches us that something that will disagree with this Mishnah? So the Gemara, obviously why this is found there is because the Gemara's first attempt at that is our Rabbi Elezer from our Mishnah, or Rabbi Elezer from the Braisa. Rabbi Elezer from the Braisa says, right, kol, right, I'm chuber lekarka. Anything attached to the ground has a din like karka. Is that a din like karka? If you say that kol I'm chuber lekarka, are you karka, then it should be irrelevant whether you carved the pipe, then affixed it to the ground, or fixed the pipe to the ground and then carved it out. Either one should be classified as mechuber lekarka, should be fine. So Mar says, oh, I found the Rabbi Elezer that's not life. Mar says, wait a minute. Maybe Rabbi Elezer's reasoning in that braisa has nothing to do with mechuber lekarka. Mechuber lekarka is just a siman. It's not the siba. It's not the reason. It's just an indication. What is an indication of? That a mocher ba'ayin yafeh mocher. That the seller sells generously. So when we say the seller sells generously, what do we say he sold generously? He sold everything that was mechuber lekarka. Not that the din, or not that it's a lochik, a din that kol mechuber lekarka is hariku karka. That, no, Rabbi Elezer may not hold that. Just in this instance, when it comes to selling, and we say mocher ba'ayin yafeh mocher, we're going to say that kol mechuber lekarka hariku karka. But then that's a general principle where all through Shas. So the Gemara says, okay, that can't. Maybe it's not that Rabbi Elezer. So what's the Rabbi Elezer we're looking for? So this is three lines down from the bottom. Semachay amud bet. El Rabbi Elezer dekver dvorim. Maybe it's the Rabbi Elezer of the honeycomb. Titznan. We have a Mishnah. Kveret dvorim. Rabbi Elezer Omer, Harihu Kikarko. A honeycomb has a din of karka, has a din of being like the ground. So what does that mean, has a din like the ground? Number one, Kotev Nalea Prusbo. You can write a Prusbo on it. We'll come back to this in a second. Ve'ena Mekabele Tuma Bim Koma. So number one, you can write a Prusbo. Prusbo can only be written. What's a Prusbo? Prusbo is a document that allows one to be Moser Shtarotav, to give over his credit collections to Beis Din, and therefore avoid the problem of Shmitat Kisafim. Shmitat Kisafim would say that at the end of the Shmita year, when it comes around to the Shmita year, all your loans are forgiven. Since all your loans are forgiven in the Shmita year, what happened? People stopped lending. When they stopped lending, they start to violate what it says in the Torah, right, that maybe you'll think that because it's going to come the Shatah Shemitah and wipe out the loans, you'll stop lending. And that's exactly what they did. They stopped lending. So Hillel came up with the Prusbo. The Prusbo, and here the Rashi says that based on what the Gemara says, right, in Gittin and other places, that it's Prus, believe that it's for the rich people. It's a way for them to allow for collections. When they're allowed for collections, then they're going to continue to lend because it won't be knocked off by the Shemitah. So Prusbo has to be written on land. The question is, why does a Prusbo have to be written on land? Rashi, and other places in Shas, Rashi always says, you know why it has to be written on land? Because the Chachamim were only metakein et takana for dovar that shchiach. People, when they lend, they tend to lend with collateral. Collateral means that there's land, right, that's there, and people would only lend on something that is collateralized with real property. So therefore, the Chachamim were metakein the Prusbo to protect people who lend in a normal manner, that which is shchiach. What's not shchiach, they were not, they did not include. That's Rashi's interpretation of what a Prusbo is throughout Shas. The Rashbam over here says, no. This is, it's an unbelievable, the Rashbam. You see on the top of Samacha Bava Menalef, the Rashbam says, that's the second line down in the Rashbam, and Samacha Bava Menalef by Prusbo. Hilchach, Mishamasa Shtarotav the Beit Din the Gvotan. Person who gives over his Shtarot to Beit Din to collect them. He himself is not collecting it. Lo Kirina Beit Lo Igos. Then you don't have a problem. The problem after the Shemitah is to be, right, the pressure, the credit, the loan, the debtor to pay you back. The dayonim kamikavule. That it's not you that's collecting, but rather the Beis Din that's collecting. The Hefker based on Hefker. So we're invoking the principle that Beis Din can do what they want in monetary matters because they can be mafker anybody's possessions. And therefore, there's no lo yigos anymore. Vahani mile kiyesh lo karka lulove. That's only when the love has property. The domik ilu yesh the malve mashkon. It's as if the malve has collateral in his hand. Why does it matter if the malve has collateral in his hand? Because we learned this in the Gemara and Gidin, the mashkon lo yishayach bo lo yigos. When it comes to a collateral, there is no lo yigos. If you're holding collateral, we look at it as if you've collected a portion of the loan. There we had the machlokas. The Gemara has the machlokas would be Rabbi. I think it's Rabbi Shimon Gamliel about how much of the loan is protected by the mashkon. Is it the entire loan or just up to the mashkon level? Right, the Gemara has different two girsot, right, and two lishonot there. Now, collateral protects the loan. So listen to this line: Shkol mashiyuchlu chamin latakein gedesh lo near in okrin davar min haTorah. What are the chachamim could do to be takein in order that they're not okir to varmin haTorah itkinu? V'chein nira atam be'inai. That's the reason in my eyes. And then he quotes, right? Who is he quoting from? A Rebbe Zikni. Who's Rebbe Zikni? Rashi, his grandfather Rashi. Then he quotes Rashi, who says it's all an Indian of Shchiach. But the Rashi's reasoning why Prusbol needs karka is because he says we want to look at the least amount of okir min haTorah. Well, how is it the least amount of okir min haTorah? Well, if you had a mashkon, if you had collateral, then there wouldn't be any problem with ghosts, there wouldn't be any problem with Shemitah Kesafim. So what did the Chachamim say? At least have some collateral over here. All right, it's not in your hand, but at least when you have collateral of real property, that's something that is close to the collateral. So it doesn't really look like you're undermining the Torah. Plus, you're being Moser Yishtarot to Beis Din. So all of these items together add up to the least amount of Chiddush to be Oker Dover Min HaTorah. And that's why the Rashi says you need Karka. Right, just a sidebar, but it's amazing because the Rashi here explains it and then brings Shitas Rashi afterwards about why he thinks a Prusbol needs karko.
So now, according to Rashi, uh-huh.
It's shchiach. It's just a normal loan. The Chachamim only mitaken or make gzerot for things that are shchiach, that are normal. People only lend. Most people lend, take loans, or give loans with real property underlying them. So therefore, they're only mitaken in cases where it's a normal loan. Right now, the continuing with our Gemara, what's relevant to our Gemara is Rabbi Lezer. Rabbi Lezer says that a honeycomb has a din of karka. Has a din of karka for first of all that you can write a prusbol on a honeycomb. As long as the debtor has a honeycomb, you have land on which to write the prusbol. Number two, ve'ena mikabela tum'a bimkuma. Does not get tum'a in its place. This is subject to machlokes, the Rashbam and the Ri. We'll see that in a second. It's not mikabela tum'a. Ve'arudeh mimenu b'shabbat. Someone who scrapes out honey from it on Shabbos, chayav chadat. He is chayav chatat. Why? Because that's ha'ilu tolesh min hakarka. It's as if you're taking something off the karka. If you tolesh min hakarka, right, tolesh something mechubar, you tolesh it, you're chayav chatas. As opposed, right, it's like picking a leaf, taking a branch off, picking a fruit, any of those items, the same thing. As opposed to if it's detached, then it's a tolesh min hatalush. That's not a din, d'araisa, maybe a din d'rabanan. So according to Rabbi Lezer, all of these things have a din, it has a din of karka. Now, the Rashi explains, why does it have a din of karka over here? Because it's a honeycomb, sheyesh bo tit. It's cemented to the ground. It's a honeycomb that is cemented to the ground, and because it's cemented to the ground, it's mechuber le karka. So mechuber le karka makes it, number one, kotman le prusbol. Number two, makes it that if you rodev, if you take the honey out of it on Shabbos, you're chayav chatat. Now the problem the Rashman faces is now, what about tuma? Of course, kol davar mechuber le karka, right, doesn't have any tuma. So what's the question here? What's the chiddush of Rabbi Lezer? So he says, the chiddush of Rabbi Lezer is that it's not only the honeycomb, not mekabel tuma, but the dvash inside is not mekabel tuma. That as long as bim koma, as long as the dvash is still in the comb, then it's batel the gabe the honeycomb. If it's batel the gabe the honeycomb, then the dvash has a din of, right, mechuber the karka. That's it.
Either.
Why not?
Well, if you have a tree, when you say if there's a pear that's connected to the tree that wasn't picked yet, mekabel tuma, obviously not.
Okay, but that's what it's right.
It's
right.
The juice of the pear. The juice of the pear is dripping out.
All right, but all of those things are where they're physically attached. Honey is not physically attached to the comb. It sits in the comb, but it's not physically attached to the comb. There is a difference by honey. Right? By honey, it's separated. It's a separate entity, not physically attached to the comb. And the chiddush here is that it's classified as the comb, but only bimkoma, as long as it's still in the comb itself. Now, why is that helpful? That also helps him with the rodeh b'shabbat, right? When he scrapes it out on Shabbos and he pulls the honey out, it's going to have a din of mechubar, the karka, because we're talking over here that he's scraping out the honey on Shabbos. That's the Shita Sarashbam over here. The Ri disagrees with the Rashbam over here about the honeycomb and saying that the honey. Why? Because, number one, there's a Gemara on Daf Dalet in Shabbos. What does the Gemara on Daf Dalet in Shabbos say? Harodeh pat mina tanur. Someone who scrapes out bread from a tanur. And what is he in violation of? What's he in violation of? He's only in violation of the Rabbanan. You know what the question there in the Gemara is? He starts to cook on Shabbos, he puts bread, and then he realizes it's a Shabbos. Or a friend does it. Now, what does he have to do? He has a choice. Either he leaves it in there and it cooks, and he violates a chatos. Or if he scrapes it out of the tanur, then what would it be? Only violating a din d'rabbanan. So Gemara wants to know, is it better to do the rodeh b'shabbos, violate the din d'rabbanan, and not violate the din d'oraisa? Or for your friend, is it better to be rodeh on behalf of someone else, right? Is a person choteh, k'deish yaskir k'chaviro. So what do you see from that? Here you have a tanur. A tanur is also affixed to the ground with tit, right? It's affixed to the ground, and yet, a rodeh mimenu b'shabbos, enu chayav chatat, it's a din d'rabbanan. So why should it be that all of a sudden the honey over here has a din of a rodeh mimenu b'shabbos is a din d'oraisa? Right, because it's mechubar betit to the ground. So that's the reason.
There is a difference. Because
it's the honey you put in. The honey comes by itself. But the honey, I mean, that was placed in there. Bread is an external factor. The honey is actually inside of the comb. I think you could argue. I think probably what the Rashbam is arguing strongly, which is that there's a difference between honey. What you had pointed out earlier about fruits on a tree.
Yeah.
Right? So honey is somewhere between fruits on the tree and the pot in the tanur. And I think that's what the Rashbam is saying. Right. So I think I agree with you. I think that's probably the Rashbam Shita, why he differentiates. The Ri, on the other hand, says that the case over here is a case where the honey itself, in Indian Tuma, over here he says, Rode min a pot, min a tanur, zolom a chayev, afagav the tanur mechubar, uli Indian Tuma, nami mekabel dvash Tuma, afilu bim koma. The Ri says, no, dvash bim koma is mekabel Tuma, because dvash is something that's nifrad. It's not mechubar over here. Kevin to low boy machshava. Ulim prisbol nami tipkloi da ika mokum sheshchevet alav. Parakashleik gabi etzitz nakuv. You have the place on which it sits. Ela korchach the mana chasichi. It's sitting on thorns here. Shani hatam. Vim kain ain't hamosh Rabbi Lezer meshum shemechubar betit. Says that the reasoning of Rabbi over here has nothing to do with the fact that it's attached with tit, but rather the location of the honeycomb. It has to do with where the honeycomb is sitting, and then because of where the honeycomb is sitting, that gets a din of karka, and that has a din of, right, enu mekabel tuma, because of the mechubar, the honeycomb itself, and that's a, taking out a rodeh mimenu b'shabbos. Sounds like over here from the reed, that's not the honey itself, but rather the honeycomb that one is removing from the karka that it's sitting on over here. Right, so the reed goes in a different direction, focuses on the honeycomb, whereas the Rashbam focuses on the honey itself. But what do you see from Rabbi Eliezer over here? You see, Rabbi Eliezer, kol mechubar the karka, harihu kekarka. Anything that's attached to the ground is a din of karka. So that would go against the Mishnah of Mikvos, because if you believe kol mechubar the karka, then it wouldn't matter whether the pipe was before or after. It's mechubar the karka, now it should be fine. So this is the Rabbi Eliezer that we were looking for. Now we just go through the chachamim. Chachamim omrim, enu kekarka, doesn't have a din of karka, but enkot vino le puzbo, umikabela, tuma bim koma, according to the Rashbam, that means the honey, right? And according to the, right, or honey and the comb. And according to the Ri, which is be about the comb, right? And Varodeh Mimenu B'Shabbos Patur, right? Patur V'Lasur, it's a din derabanan of Rodeh B'Shabbos. So Gemara says, okay, I found my Rabbi Lazar that disagrees with this Mishnah Mikvos. Gemara says, no. Hatom k'damar Rabbi Lazar. Time of Amar Rabbi Lazar, my time of the Rabbi Lazar, so it's Rabbi Elazar that is explaining the time, the reasoning of Rabbi Eliezer, who is the one who we're looking at after here. So what does Rabbi Lazar say the reasoning of Rabbi Lazar is? Dichtiv. I have a pasuk in Shmuel Aleph. The pasuk in Shmuel Aleph is where Shaul says, nobody may eat, right? When they go to the battle against the Pelishtim over there, nobody may eat, right, from at all today until they come back from the Milchama successful. Who goes ahead and eats, of course? Yonatan, his son, goes ahead and eats. And how does he eat? Right, he goes ahead and he takes a honeycomb, vayitbo otah biyarat advash, takes some bread, dips it in the honey that's from the comb. So now what's the drasha? Ma'yara tolosh mimenu b'shabbos chayav chatat. Avdvash oredem mimenu b'shabbos chayav chatat. That the fact that the Torah calls, or not the Torah, the Tanakh, the Navi calls it yarat dvash. Why is it yarat dvash? So it has yar and dvash. What's the connection between a yar and a dvash? It happened to be that the honeycomb was in the yar, that's why. But here, the yarat dvash, the term over here is yarat dvash to show you what? That just, what's this modification of yarat dvash? Yarat Dvash is that Yar and Dvash have an equation. What's that equation? They're the same din. That just like someone is Tolesh from the Yar, it's Chayav Chatat and Shabbos, so too, someone is Tolesh from Dvash. So that means it's a unique halacha in honey and honeycombs. If you say that, then you've limited the din of Rabbi Eliezer. If you limit the din of Rabbi Eliezer to honeycombs, then we can't say over here that Rabbi Eliezer is not the author of mikvos. Why not? Because maybe the din is only by honeycombs. By mikveh, he would agree that a mechuber lekarka is not classified as mechuber lekarka. Call a mechuber lekarka. No, this is a din unique to honeycombs because of a drasha from the posuk. So okay, now we got to find another Rabbi Eliezer that disagrees with mikvos. What's that? Ella, Rabbi Eliezer the daf. Must be the Rabbi Eliezer, not of the daf yomi, but of the daf nachtomim. Daf nachtomim is the board of the bakers. So what's the board of the bakers? The Rashbam brings two interpretations of what is the board of the bakers over here. He says either it's a nasarachav, a big plank on which they prepared the bread. They used to knead the bread and work on that. It was like a working surface that they used to have. It was a flat wooden piece that they did the working surface. He disagrees and he says it's the display. It's the wood on which they place the bread when they take it out of the oven. You know, today you go into the supermarket, right, they have the racks that they place the challah on after it's finished. So these were the racks. This is a plain piece of wood. They used to take it out and they used to put it in display. And over there to sell the... So this is the wooden rack that they used to put the bread on when it comes out. That's what the Rashbam says the halacha is. Now, what's the halacha of Pshutei Kli Eitz? What's the din of Pshutei Kli Eitz? So Pshutei Kli Eitz, flat pieces of wood, are not Mikabel Tuma. Right, because they have a din. Right, so it has to have eitz, where the eitzim, kli eitz, and sak are all written in the same pasuk, in the pasukim of tumah. There's sak, kli eitz, kli beget, all of these items that are mixed together. And there the Gemara dashens, masak, nital malei urekan, just like a sak, like means a sack, right? A burlap sack that can be carried, that can be carried both empty and full. I mean, that has a receptacle in which to carry items. So too, any other item that's mentioned in the pasuk, must have a beit kibul in order to be mekabel tumah. So kliyetz, which is mentioned in the pasuk, is compared to sak. So too, a kliyetz requires a beit kibul, requires a receptacle in order to be mekabel tumah. So what are we talking about here? We're talking about pshutei kliyetz, a flat piece of wood. So a flat piece of wood, right, does not have a din, right, of being mekabel tumah. So since it doesn't have a din of mekabel tumah, right, what's the din? So that's what Gemara says. The Tanan, we have a Mishnah. Daf shel nachtomim shekavo bikotel, a flat piece of wood that was affixed to the wall. Rabbi Lezer mitaher, v'chamim mitamim, the chamim are mitame. So now, why are they mitaher or mitame over here? Right. So the fact is, once he attaches it to the wall, it becomes mechubar lekarka. So since it's mechubar lekarka, now it's not mikabel tuma. So the question is, wait, wait a minute. Why does it matter that it was right attached to the wall? The fact that it's a pshutei kli eitz already should make it that it's not mekabel tuma, right? So it's a kli, but a kli requires a beit kibul. So what's the answer? The answer is that maybe pshutei kli eitz are metame midrabanan. The rabbanon in the Mishnayot, it's actually a drush in the Sifri, which the Tosfos brings to me, a drush in the Sifri that anything that's mishamesh adam, umshamshei adam, anything that works to help people, like you were mentioning over here, it's a kli, or works to help items that help people, meaning that it services other kelim, has a din, according to what the Tosfos quotes, the drush of the Sifri, which make it a doraisa. At the end is kind of, he says, not sasmachta bi'alma, but there might be a din derabonon by pshutei kli eitz.
Like a knife.
Right, a wooden knife, I don't know if you have a wooden knife, the one that's like, take a tabletop, or here, where we have the dafshel nachtomim, we have flat pieces of wood, which are used as kelim, even though they don't have a beit kibul, so they don't qualify to be tamei d'oraisa. So what the Rashbam learns is that we're talking about tuma d'rabanan. We're talking about tuma d'rabanan on a flat piece of wood. The Tosfos in the end says there is no tuma whatsoever in these cases, or possibly in these cases. And in that instance, and all the other things, the drushes are asmach d'zbama, maybe there's no tuma at all by pshutei kli eitz, and the Gemara is going to come to a conclusion afterwards that it has to be a kli matechet. And we're talking about over here that this is just the havamina of the Gemara over here, right? But that's not necessarily the conclusion of the Gemara. That maybe midera banan even in the end, right? There is no din of tuma. But all right, assuming there might be a din dera banan here of tuma. So din dera banan of tuma. If you affix it to the wall, tuma's gone according to Rabbi Eliezer. According to Chamim, you still have a problem of tuma. So what do you see from Eliezer? Kol mechuber the karka, arehu kikarka. There's a din of karka. So that's what Gemara says over here. Daf shel nachtomim shekavu b'kotel, Rabbi Eliezer mitaher, v'chamim mitamim. Mani, Rabbi Lezer. Now, who's the author of Mikvos over here? If it's Rabbi Lezer, Afil Chakako Lusov Kavo. Even if you made the pipe and then attached it to the ground, what does Rabbi Lezer say over here? Even if you have the Dachshel Nechtomim, you have the called the rack, the baker's rack, and then you attach it to the wall, no more tuma. So it should work with the pipe also. Irabanon, if it's the Rabbanon of the Nechtomim here, Afilu Kavo Lusov Chakako. Even if you attach it to the wall and then carve out the rack, or even if you make the pipe in the ground, right? Nami, it's no good. Why? Because they say it is mekabel tuma, even if it's mechubar to the karka, even if you do it while it's on the wall, it's mekabel tuma. There's nothing to talk about over here. So Mer says, no, the Olam, Rabbi Lezer. Rabbi Lezer is the author of the Mishnah, or the Braisa by Mikvos. What do we do with Rabbi Lezer over here? What do we do with Rabbi Lezer over here? V'shainei p'shutei kliyetz, the tumah d'rabbanan. Kliyetz, p'shutei kliyetz, our problem, because only a din d'rabbanan, that tumah d'rabbanan, right, applies over here. Michlau, what is that, what are you inferring from this? That shiva d'oraisa. That mayim shuvim that are posel amikvah is a din d'oraisa, it's a din min ha-torah. So now, what's the differentiation here? We have Rabbi Lezer. Rabbi Lezer has an opinion. Lezer's opinion is kol mechubar lekarka hariu kekarka, but that's only when we're dealing with a din derabonon. When we come to a din d'oraisa, then we do not say kol mechubar lekarka hariu kekarka. So that'll be the difference. By the daf shel nechtomim, when I'm talking about attaching the daf, they were talking about tuna derabonon because it's a pshutei kliyetz. Which again, everybody agrees here that at least these pshutei kliyetz have a din derabonon tuma derabonon. So if it's tuma derabanan, attaching it to the wall fixes your problem. But when you're talking about maim shuvim, when you're talking about a mikveh is a din d'oraisa. So putting maim shuvim in the mikveh is a din d'oraisa. If that's the case, then what? There, we will not say, kol mechubar lekarka, arehu kekarka. And that's why Rabbi Lezer will have the opinion in the Braisa Mikvos that what? That if the pipe's already in the ground, no problem, because that's karka. But if the pipe is made and then attached to the ground, we won't say, kol mechubar lekarka, arehu kekarka, because it's a din d'oraisa. But the big thing here is Michlau. The Gemara says we can infer from here the Shi'iva Doraisa. The Mayim Shuvim is a Din Doraisa. Where is Mayim Shuvim a Din Doraisa? So the Rashbam quotes a Sifri over here. That Shvayim Shuvim posim et mikvah in a Torah, k'detanye v'torat kohanim. So why this line in the Rashbam?
The whole issue of the whole Din of Mikvah.
But it may be only a Din Dorabonah. Turns out it's a massive machlokas rishonim here. Turn the page, you see a Tosfos takes up the whole page. That's exactly this machlokas rishonim here. What's the din? We go first. Let's start with the Rashbam. Rashbam explains din d'oraisa. Widest line in Rashbam: Shemayim shuvim posim et mikvah min haTorah k'detanya b'Torat Kohanim. We have a brayso in Torat Kohanim. Yochol mile mayim k'tifo v'asa mikveh b'tchila. Someone takes water in a bucket, takes it up, fills. Bathtub, you fill your bathtub. That's how you want to make your mikvah. You take up, put the plug in, fill up your bathtub. Right now we have Mayim Shuvim. Is that posul min d'oraisa? He says, yes, that's what it says in Torah's Kohanim. Why? It says, Yoko e Taor, why would it be a Taor? Tamalomar Ma'ayan. Ma Ma'ayan b'dei shemayim af mikveh b'dei shemayim. So it's Russian, it's Sifri, that mikveh is complete. Mikveh Ma'ayan, right? Ma'ayan. And mikveh have a hekesh. And therefore, the din of mikveh derives from Ma'ayan. Just like a mayan comes naturally, so too a mikveh must be created naturally. It has to come from rainwater. But that din is only mitchila. That's in the beginning. To create a mikveh, you have to have, right, mayim, that is, what? You have to have mayim, that is, comes min hashamayim, mayim megishamim, they fall in there. That is true, mi d'oraisa. That's what the Rashbam says. Rashbam says, mayim shuvim, carrying water, pouring into your bathtub, makes a mikveh pasul mi d'oraisa. The Gemara is going to say in a second, v'ha, I turn the page, v'ha kaim elon d'rabonon. Don't we know that mayim shuvim is only a din d'rabonon? What do you mean? So how could you claim that mayim shuvim is a din d'oraisa? Right, when we know that mayim shuvim is only a din d'rabonon. Didn't the Rashbam just make a good point? Right, they just made a point. He said, look, I have a lima d'oraisa, so what are you talking about? So he differentiates. He says, mitchila, to put in mayim shuvim to a mikvah, is posel, that is posel midoraisa. But there's also another type of mayim shuvim. What is another type of mayim shuvim? Once you have a kosher mikvah, right, to add to it mayim shuvim. So when you add to it mayim shuvim after the fact, then what's the story? And then that's only a din d'rabbanan. The fact that mayim shuvim are posel a mikvah after you have a kosher mikvah, That's only a din derabanan. But midoraisa, that would be a good mikveh. Ah, why are they posel it midoraisa? I mean, why are they posel midorabanan? Because they don't want you to use ma'im shuvim here, because then you'll come to what? Either you'll come to use ma'im shuvim mitchila, or people go take a shower and say it's the same thing, right? So they don't want you to add ma'im shuvim after the fact. But, right, once it's done, once you have a kosher mikveh, ma'im shuvim is only a din de rabbonon. But as long as they fall in afterwards, either batil barov or kama batil, whatever the principle that you want to use in terms of ma'im shuvim come in, once you have a full-size mikveh, no problem whatsoever for ma'im shuvim to come into it. So now, that's the way that Rashi learns it over here. But kamilan derabbanan, but old. Hamar Rabbi Yosi bar Rabbi Chanina, daf shel matechet machlokes. What goes here between the Chachamim and Rabbi Lezer in the case of daf shel nachtomim is not a wooden daf. We're talking about over here is a metal daf. Why? Because pshutei kleiets may not ever be mekabel tuma, as we said before, right? That maybe according to Rashbam it's mekabel tuma midrabanan. Tosfos actually plays around the fact that maybe there isn't tuma at all by a daf, a flat daf over here, and therefore what do you have to come to the conclusion? You need a daf shel matechet. It has to be a metal, a flat. Flat pieces of metal are mekabel tuma. Why? Why does metal not require a beit kibul? What? Because not cherem close, but because of midyan. The case of midyan. The other klalim that are mentioned in tuma are mentioned in the parsha of tuma and tahara. Are mentioned along with sak in the pasuk. So therefore, they're all there's a hekesh to sak. Metal. The fact that metal is mekabel tuma is mentioned in the parsha of midyan. When they conquer midyan, they bring the klalim back. That's where we have the mikveh for klalim plus tumat klalim. Tumat kelim, there is talking about metal kelim. So those metal kelim are not in the pasuk of sak. They have no comparison to sak. If they have no comparison to sak, that means all metal kelim, no matter what they look like, are mekabel tuma. So even a flat piece of metal is mekabel tuma. Daf shel matechet mekabel tuma. So that's the answer. The machlokas here between Rabbi Lezer and the Chumis is that you have a flat piece of metal, which is mekabel tuma mido raisa. Now you have mekabel tuma mido raisa. If you affix it to the wall, Rabbi Lezer says, tahor. It's mechuber lekarka. Come and say, no matter if you attach it to the wall, it's still a kli. It's a kli, it's mekabel tuma. Why does that give you a problem? Because now what have we just done? Number one, we said that the daf shel nechtomim could be a case of tuma d'oraisa. That's number one. Number two is that who says that she'iva, ma'im shuvim is a din, right, d'oraisa, it's a din d'rabbanan. We also now flip the case. Well, before we just said that, right, the case of nechtomim is a din d'rabbanan, because it's tuma d'rabbanan, because it's pshutei kliyej. And she'iva is d'oraisa. Now the Gemara says, what are you talking about? Shiva's derabanan, and daf is talking about daf deoraisa. You have just the opposite case. If that's the case, you can't explain that he's mekil by derabanan and machmir by deoraisa. It's just the opposite now. He's being mekil by deoraisa and be machmir by the derabanan. So that can't be the explanation over here. So the Gemara says, the olam rabanan is. The Gemara says, no. Who is the author of the braisa by mikvos? Is the rabanan of, question of, which Rabbanan we're talking about. We'll see in a second. Alright, Lolam Rabbanan here of Daf Shel Nechtomim. Shaini She'iva Derabbanan. We're talking about She'iva Derabbanan. Why? So now it makes more sense. The Rabbanan who are Machmir by Daf Shel Nechtomim. By Daf Shel Nechtomim, we just explained, is a metal daf over there. Now we're talking about Tuma D'oraisa. So by Tuma D'oraisa, what do the Chamim say? Doesn't matter if you touch it to the wall. Does not matter what? Tuma stays, because doesn't matter. What do they say? By Mikvos, we're talking about She'iva. She'iva is a din. De Rabbanon. Din de Rabbanon. Okay, they were makel over there. So what do you mean? If they're makel over there, why are they only makel when it's already in the ground? Why not be makel when they make it and then attach it to the ground? So she would say, Yoch, Yafilu Chachakol Sof Kavo. If you're going to be makel by Maim Shuvim, because it's de Rabbanon, then even after you make the pipe and then place it into the ground, it should still be good. So my says, Shani Otam, Dika Torat Kli Alav B'Talush. They wanted to make the, when they made the Kula, they made the Kula in the least Chiddush, right? The least way there would be a Chiddush. So they say, if you put the pipe in the ground and then you carve it out, that's okay. But if you make the kli and then attach to the ground, the Rabbanan's going to be makel. We're not going to be that makel. Because already that has looks like a kli. You're being mechaber at the karka. You're going to think in other places that it works also. So they say, no, it doesn't work. So now the Rabbanan are the authors of the Braisa b'mikvos. By daf shel nechtomim, what do they say? Daf shel nechtomim is a din d'oraisa. That's metal, daf and metal there. No kulas. There, it's tamei, no matter what you do. Whether you carve it into the wall, whether you attach it to the wall, tamei. On the other hand, right? When it comes to mikvos, when we're talking about shiva derabonon, that, they're mekel. What are they mekel? Only in the case where the pipe's already attached to the ground, you carve it into the ground. But if you have a pipe and then want to attach it later on, there they're not mekel. Now, to David's
case. What's the case that they're mekel? What why is it Rabbanan?
Because it's Sheiva Derabbanan. The Mayim Shuvim Derabbanan, right? This is what I want to get to, your question about Mayim Shuvim Derabbanan. What does it mean in the end that Mayim Shuvim is Derabbanan? So now the Rashi is going to explain over here what the Kavim Mayim Shuvim Derabbanan means. After you have a good mikveh, you want to put more water into it, so that's the pipe that you put down there, no problem. That's not classified Mayim Shuvim Derabbanan. So Mayim Shuvim Derabbanan, they're going to be makil that you can do it with a pipe that is like already in the ground, and you carve it out of the ground. That's the Rashbam. It comes along, so this is a great thing. The Rashbam and the Rabbeinu Tam both agree over here. Now, the Rabbeinu Tam is the Rashbam's older brother, right? Older brother, he's his brother. Right, so they're older brothers, they're both, right, Ben Meir, right? That's Shmuel Ben Meir, and Rabbeinu Tam is Rabbi Yaakov Ben Meir. Right, they're brothers, and Rabbeinu Tam is a much older brother. I think he taught the Rashbam, he educated the Rashbam. So over here, they both agree. The two brothers agree that there's a difference. Mayim Shuvim is the Oraisa when it comes to Mikvah Mitchila. Whereas when it comes to Mikvah after Kach, Achar Kach, Mayim Shuvim is only a Din Derabanan. Comes along here, this mess of Tosfos over here, a big disagreement. There's the Reed disagrees, the Rashba that's quoted over here, Rav Moshe, Mipunta Viza, right, all of these, he brings down over and over again all these different Rebellia Tosfot that disagree with the Rabbeinu Tam and the Rashbam, and they say Mayim Shuvim is the Rabbanan through and through. Mayim Shuvim, even for a mikveh, mitchila is a din de Rabbanan. What about the Sifri? What about the Sifri? You have a Sifri which quotes about it. Oh, very good. It's Machto Be'alma. Right, it's Machto Be'alma. The Sifri is in Machto Be'alma, and then they go around. And you see what they're marshaling over here are different Gemaras through Shas, which seem to indicate that even mitchila, Mayim Shuvim is a din de Rabbanan. And Mayim Shuvim, even in the beginning, is even a din de Rabbanan. So here I have a massive machlokas of Rishonim, really the Balei HaTosfos over here, massive machlokas in the Balei HaTosfot, whether Mayim Shuvim is completely through and through de Rabbanan, a din de Rabbanan, from beginning to end is de Rabbanan, Shita Zari, the Rashba, the Ramoshim, Bontaviza, all of these different Balei HaTosfot. On the other hand, you have the Rashba and the Rabbeinu Tam who say that Yafim Mechalik. If it's mitchila, you want to make your bathtub a mikveh, that's not, that's a din de Oraisa, that you can't do. If you have a kosher mikveh, now you want to add in Mayim Shuvim after, that's a din de Rabbanan, it's only posel mi de Rabbanan. Now look, either way, it's a mikveh posel, so you can't use it. What's the difference? The difference comes when it's a suffix. When you have any sfeikos, it makes a big difference if Mayim Shuvim is de Oraisa or de Rabbanan. In mitchila, you don't know if it was made shamim or if it was made, right, or if it was made Mayim Shuvim. If it's de Rabbanan, it's a suffix de Rabbanan, then what? Then you could be makil. If it's a suffix in the Oraisa, then you can't be makil over there. So they all have a difference in sfeikos that have a difference. Meaning that in the end, you can't use such a mikveh because it's pasul. But why it's pasul will make a difference when you come to sfeikos because of din de Rabbanan versus din de Oraisa. All right, so very important machlokas in the Tosfos over here. Next. By Rav Yosef, megishamim shechishev aleim le'diach at eitz droblin mahu. Right, first we'll explain this Gemara according to the Rashbam. He has rain that's coming down. What's the din of rain? We had this Gemara before it together in it was quoted. The Gemara quotes it from the drasha of Chiyutain and Chiyutan. In other places, I think we had it in Boba Kama. Might have had it in Kedushin as well. Right, that the Gemara has a drasha that the hechsher lekabel tuma. Items must be mukshar, have to be prepared to be mekabel tuma. How are they prepared to become a tuma? When liquids, one of the seven liquids, yad shechatam, one of those seven liquids, go onto the item. But when they go onto the item, they have to be done in a manner. Right, which is that he has to want it. It has to be chiyitain, that he purposely puts it on the item. Now, the Gemara has a drush over there. That doesn't mean that he has to literally want it, but he has to have to want the water. So what happens if, for instance, we have this in other places, the water comes down and drops on something else. It's raining. The water comes down and drops on something else. He wants the rain to wash something else. Then that rain falls onto his food, onto his raiment, washes them as well. So now you would say he had no intention of washing his fruits and vegetables. So is that machshir lekabel tumah? The Gemara has a drasha because the pasuk writes the word yud tof nun sofit. So if you read it right without nikudot, you'd read v'chiyitain. That has to be intentionally placed on the item. Yet the nikudot, the kri in the Torah is v'chiyutan. Yutan means that it happens passively. Yitain is active. Yutan is passively. So the Gemara makes a drasha that has to be yutan dumel lechiyitain. As long as that the yutan, the passive falling of the water on the object, is in a manner that is kiyitain, like if you had put it on actively, then it works. So what is the drasha? The drasha says that if you want the rain to fall on something else, and therefore you want the water, if it falls passively on the zraim, then it's a good washing, and that is hechsher the kabel tumah. So here's the case over here. We had that case, the case that we Mar Din Chulin talks about a wall. He has a ki'ara on a wall. He has something that's hanging on the wall, and he wants the water to wash the wall. So he comes in, he wants the water to wash the wall. Does that water then good enough to be, what? Makhshir the kabel tuma for other items. So that's what Gemara is asking over here. We haven't eaten strobilin. We saw before, eat strobilin is the ring that is affixed to the ground, that on which the mill sits. So now he has make shamim to come down, and he wants to wash the strobilin. He wants to wash this mill ring with the water that comes down. Mahu the zraim. What's the din when it comes to that water after it washes the strobilin, falls on your, right, your food? Is that makhshir the kabel tuma? So now what's the question over here? The strobilin is mechubra the karka now. It's attached to the ground. Since it's mechubra the karka, right, does it have a din of karka or not have a din of karka? Why does it make a difference if it has a din of karka or not? Because the type, the fact that water can become good to be makhshir the kabel tuma because you want it to work over here is only a din in talush. Only a din that's something that's already separated from the ground. But it's mechubra the karka, even if you want it to wash, your mechubra the karka does not have a din of mukhshir the kabel tuma. That water cannot work to be makhshir anything else. So of course, here we have an itstroblin that's attached to the ground. Now itstroblin attached to the ground is what? Mechubar the karka. So does it have a din of karka or not? Who does that depend on? Machlokas between Rabbi Lezer and the Chachamim. So that's exactly what the Gemara says here. Aliba the Rabbi Lezer damar kolam mechubar the karka reuk karka. According to Rabbi Lezer, who believes that anything attached to the ground is a din of a ground, loti bailach. There's no question over here. Why? Because itstroblin has a din of karka, then the water that falls on itstroblin has no din of being machshir the kabel tuma. Why? Because it's karka. Water that falls on karka does not have a din to be makhshir kabel tuma. Right, whereas over here, kiti baylach aliba de rabbanon. The question over here is according to the rabbanon. What do the rabbanon say? That even when you fix something else afterwards, you take something that's not mechubar the karka, you mechaber to the karka, it doesn't have a din. It doesn't have karka. Damrei enu karka. It doesn't have a din of karka. My, what's the din over here? Teiku. Or at least it has a teiku. Now the question is, why is the din a teiku over here according to the Rabbanan? The Rabbanan have a clear position. What's the Rabbanan's clear position? Now you mechaber something to the karka, it does not have a din of karka. So over here, what's the question? Why is there any question whatsoever? Why is there a teiku? The Rabbanan believe that kol mechuber the karka eino kekarka. Does not have a din of karka. So why over here all of a sudden, right, is there a question over here? So the Rashbam says that the Machlokas Rabbi Lezer and the Chachamim we're talking about over here is the Rabbi Lezer and the Chachamim of Machteshet. Not the Rabbi Lezer and the Chachamim of Daf Shel Nachtomim. The Rabbi Lezer and the Chachamim of Daf Shel Nachtomim, which is the metal sheet, over there we know what their opinions are. Rabbi Lezer says, Kol Mechubar LeKarka, Harihu KeKarka. According to the Chachamim, we know, Kol, any Mechubar LeKarka is Eino Mechubar LeKarka. Anything that's attached to the ground does not have a din of karka. Those Chachamim, we know what the din is. You know what the din is over there? It would be Machshir the Kabel Tuma, it's not attached. Where do we have a question about the din of the position of the Chachamim? That is the Chachamim of Machteshet. Where the Chachamim of Machteshet found? That's back in the Braisa that we brought before. We brought a Braisa that says, that Rabbi Lezer says, Kol Mechubar the Karka, Riku Karka, when it comes to selling a house and items in the house. But the Chachamim say it depends whether it was kakuka or kavua. Was it carved into the bedrock? Right? Was the machteshet carved into the bedrock? Or was the machteshet built and then attached to the ground? So where the Chachamim say it was built into the bedrock, it has a din of mechubar lekarko. If it was, what? If it, and it goes with the house, it goes with the sale. If it was made beforehand and then attached afterwards, it doesn't go along with the sale. So now, why is that Chachamim? Why is that a question over there in my machteshet? Why is that a machteshet over here? Because that Rabbanon, that argue on a blazer by the case of machteshet, what is the reasoning for them? What's the reason they say it's not sold with the house? Right. Maybe it's because of Ayin Ra. That a mocher is mocher of Ayin Ra. It's not a din in Mechubar the Karka. It's a din in Ayin Ra. That's what they want to know over here. That's exactly what the Gemara wants to know. According to the Rashbam, the Gemara wants to know. When you take something that's talush and you mechaber it to the karka. Now, what is that? Is that a din, general din of the position of the chachamim there? That they believe, kol mechubar the karka, eino kakarka. And then it'll have implications, halachic implications by mukhshir the kabel tuma, because it'll be classified as talush, as being separate. If it's classified as talush, then it's not mukhshir the kabel tuma. That's their position through and through. Or, is their position by the machteshet have to do with sales? Has to do with mecher. The fact is that someone is mocher b'ayin hara. That's why. So when he's mocha b'ayin ra'ah, what does that mean? That means that he doesn't sell it here because, so how do we differentiate what he does sell and doesn't sell? Whether it was attached or not. Whether it was built into the bedrock or was attached later. But in other places, they will believe that a mechuber l'karka is hariyu k'karka. That's what the teiku is. The teiku is we don't know what the position of the chachamim is outside of mecher. Are they making a general statement, mechuber l'karka eino k'karka, and therefore it'll apply everywhere? Or are they saying a din in mecher? Din in ayin ra'ah by mecher, that people sell in a stingy way. And since they sell in stingy way, this is not included. But in other places in halacha, kolam mechuber l'karka, hariyu k'karka. And that's the teiku of the case over here. So the Rashi asked the obvious question on himself. Then why didn't the Gemara ask on machteshet? Why is the Gemara asking on ayin strobelin? The machlokas there is about a machteshet. So why are they asking about ayin strobelin? So what? That's what he says. You know what the chiddush of ayin strobelin is? There's a difference. The chachamim, even over there, agree that ayin strobelin goes with the sale. They agree that it's strobelin. If you sell a house, it's strobelin goes with it. Why? It's strobelin is also a talush of mechuber the karka. Something that's separated and then affixed to the ground. What's the difference between it's strobelin and machteshet? It's strobelin gets affixed to the ground and rarely moves. It's attached and almost permanently attached there. It never moves. Machteshet on the other is attached ground, but it's more metalto. People take it out. They don't put it back and forth. So that's what the Rashi says. The Gemara wants to take the biggest chiddush. We want to take the case of it's strobelin. A case where even the chachamim agree that it has mechubar or it didn't mechubar by Mecher, and they want to know, what's the din of the chachamim? What's the position of the chachamim over there? Is something in mechuber the karka, right, that is a siyato, the kvua b'karka, right, and it's chashiv more like the house, even more like a house, because even the chachamim agree that it'll be sold to the house. Does that have a din of mechuber the karka or not? That will depend on what you think the chachamim's position is based on in the case of Mecher. Is it ayin ra or ayin yofa? And that's, if that's you think what their position is, then over here it'll be classified as what? Then it'll be classified as mechuber the karka, because they believe everywhere it's mechuber the karka. Over there, they're looking at what is stingy, what's not stingy. It's a different din that they're looking at. Or, do they always believe, kol mechuber the karka, enu kekarka. Enu kekarka means that over here, it'll be considered as talush. Over there, it's sold with the house because it's so kavua, so fixed, that it has even a din, even though it's talush is so mechubar, it still has a din of mechubar over there, even though generally they don't believe that. That's what the Rashbam says. That's what the Chachamim are after over here. That's what the Gemara is after over here. What I'll do is I'll finish the Gemara according to the Rashbam, and then we'll go back and point out that the Reed disagrees that this is what the Machlok is over here. So then, comes along. Shalach Rabbi Yechemia, braid Rabbi Yosef, the Rabbah, braid Rabbi Kahuna. Zutei Lenarda. He sends him a message over there. Ki at yahach itata lekamach. When this woman comes to you, agva iser nichse afilu mitstroblei derechayim. Go ahead and take a tenth of her possessions, even from, right, the mill ring. So now, what's Isur Nesachim? Nechassim, you guys remember from Ksubos, the Gemara in Ksubos says that if a father passes away, each daughter that is left over, if we think Omedas, if he already married off a daughter, we know how much of a dowry he would give. So that we give a dowry to each of the daughters afterwards that was equal to the original daughter that he gave to. If we have no idea what it is, we give Isur Nesachim. They get a tenth of his estate go towards the dowry. Tenth of the estate goes towards the dowry. So this is a case here. This woman is a almanah. She has the estate. He says, when she comes to you, go and take out, right, go take out a isur nesachim, nechassim. Take out a tenth of his possession, tenth of the estate to pay for, right, pay for the dowry. Now, there's a din. When it comes to isur nechassim, they can only be taken from karka and not metaltalin. They can only be taken out of real property, not from metaltalin. So what does he say over here? Take out even from its the mill ring. So what is he saying to you? The mill ring has a din of karka. Because that's why you're able to be govev from the mill ring, because there's a din of karka and not metaltalin. So that's the psak. What he's basically saying is the psak halacha is even from what? Is a psak halacha over here? Is a psak halacha of like Rabbi Eliezer. That's what the Rashi says here. The Gemara is passing like Rabbi Eliezer. Kol chuber l'karka is a din of karka over here. Now, the Rashbam points out over here, and we saw this in Ksubos, the Rashi brought this down numerous times, that the Gaonim changed the din. That when it came to Ktuba, Ksuba can only be Gova, Me, Karkae, from real property, and Tznai Ktuba can also be only Gova from Karkae. The Gaonim later on changed and made a Takana that you could even be Gova Mendaltlin, because the world changed. Nobody owned property anymore, everybody became businessmen, and therefore there was nothing to take from. So they say you're allowed to be Gova, the Ktuba, even from Mendaltlin. So the Rashi here makes a differentiation. He says, that's only true of Ksuba and Tznai Ksuba. So when it comes to Ksuba, you can take from Metaltalin now according to the Gonim. It comes to Mizonos of the children, that's a Tznai Ksuba. You can take from Metaltalin. Isur Nechassim, is that a Tznai Ksuba? No. That's an independent takanas chachamim. So he says, even after the takanas gionim, you can only take isun echasim, you can only take from the dowry, from real property, from karka. So he says, even though the din changed with the gionim, that didn't change for isun echasim, because that's not a din iksuba, it's not a din iksuba. So the original din remains, that you can only take those from real property. Ah, what's classified as real property? That we have Rabbi Lezer. Rabbi Lezer comes and says, call mechuber the karka, harihu karka. So the mill ring is included as mechuber the karka over here. Right now, Kavina Amar Vashi, Kavina Bei Rav Kahana, when we ask Rav Kahana, Magbina Afilu Mi Amlo Debate. We even used to collect for the Isun Echasim, which is from Karka, from rent. From rental payments. So Tosa says, wait a minute, what type of rental payments are you talking about? If they paid the rent already, it's Mitalzon, it's money now, it's Kesef. So what type of rental payments are we talking about over here? So he says, the case where they're halfway through the year, and they're paying on a monthly basis, even though Schirus Enu Mishtalem Etel Besof, the schirus only should have to be paid at the end of the year because they're renting for a year. Nevertheless, when they pay the money along the way, that money is classified as a din karka. It's a din karka because it's coming schirus of karka, and therefore, since it's not due yet, the payment's not due, it doesn't turn to kesef until the money's due. So until that point in time, it's classified as karka. So he says that even schirus money, even rental payments that haven't reached the due date, any rental payments that are prepaid, those have a classification of karka until the due date comes. So that's what Rav Ashi says. So we see over here, we paskin like Rabbi Elazar, and therefore that's Rabbeinu Hanan, all his paskins like Rabbi Elazar, and he says that's chen ikar, that's what the Rashbam says. That's all according to the Rashbam. I'll just point out to you the Re, we finished it, that's the sugya. The Re says that the Machlokas Chachamim and Rabbi Elazar that we're talking about over here, that the Gemara is trying to fit in the end, to figure out Meg Shamim, right, when it asks about Heksha the Kabbal Tumah, we said, according to the Rashbam, it's talking about Machteshet. Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim and Machteshet. The Re says, I disagree. That the machlokas that they're talking about here is machlokas Rabbi Lezer and the Chachamim by daf. Right? They're asking about daf. Why? Because he says that the din of Hefshel the Kabel Tuma and Tuma have the same din. So that they want to know, do we apply, when you have comparisons, machtesh is a different din, it's not a din in Tuma. So how can you bring that in to prove their positions in Hefshel the Kabel Tuma? But daf is a question of Tuma. So therefore it can apply to Hefshel the Kabel Tuma. So now wait a minute. Oh, if it's Hefshel the Kabel Tuma, their positions are clear. Their positions are clear in Daf Shel Nachtonim. Rabbi Lezer says it's Mechubar. Chachamim says it's not Mechubar. So why the Gemara leaving in a Teiku? Right? So now the, Hachi Kami Bayilei. So now the Re also jumps on the, Rashbam because Rashbam uses its Strobil instead of Machteshet as Machlokes. He has to come up with this whole scenario. Why do you pick with Strobil instead of Machteshet? The Gemara shouldn't talk about Machteshet. So this is what the Re says in Machlokes. It's Hachi Kami Bayilei. It's Strobil the Batel Legabe Karka. That's what they want to know. The Strobel is Batel Gabi Mecher. The Rabbanon, we know by Mecher, by the case of Mecher, even the Chachamim agree when you sell a house, the Strobel goes with it. So now they want to know, the Machteshet, the Yavai Batel Gabi Kamakotel, the Chashina Mechubar, the Indian Ekshaz Reim. Odilma, the Indian Ekshaz Reim, the Chashina Mechubar Kamakotel. Odafka, the Indian Mecher, Meshim Ein Yafeh. That's why it's considered or classified as Mechubar, the Karka. So now, what's the question over here? The question over here is that we have two. We have clear ends. We have something that was clearly a kli, and then attached to the wall, the Chachamim say is talush. Then we have a position where it's clearly mechuber the karka already, then the Chachamim agreed it was always in the karka, that's tahor, that's not a question. Point is that there's something in between, there's a position in between, which is that it's so affixed to the ground, that when it comes to mecher, we say that it goes. So the question is, what's the Chachamim's position in these items that are affixed to the ground? So for instance, like a kotel bayit, right, a wall of a house, that was talush, umsof mechubar. And everybody agrees over there that it's considered mechubar the karka, and it's not machshir the kabel tuma. So why is that? Because it's so mechubar, it's so part of the karka now that it doesn't have a din of talush. So that's what the Gemara wants to know. It's strobel. Where does the strobel fall on that line? According to that's what they want to know. So the chamim of dashel nechtomim would say talush when it's mechubar afterwards does not have a classification of mechubar. That's one end of the spectrum. The same chamim say by mecher. That it's strobel, or say by walls, for instance, that they're mechubar the karka. When you build a wall, even though it's talush, afterwards it becomes mechubar the karka, it doesn't have a din of talush. So now you have a spectrum. Now we have it's strobel has, we know a din by mecher, that it's included in the house. So now we want to know, in the spectrum of mechubar, not mechubar, where is it strobel? Is it strobel included in the house because of ein yofeh? That's why it's included in the house. Or, is it strobel included in the house because it's like a wall? That's the talush, so mechubar, it's so far along the spectrum that it has a din of mechubar. And that's the take of the Gemara. The take of the Gemara is about its strobel itself. Where is its strobel on the spectrum of mechubar the karka? Is it always like a wall? Or is it still like a machteshet? And the question by Mecher is, it's a question of, is it Ein Yofer, or is it a question that it's really Mechuba the Karka, and that's why it's sold with the house. So that's what the Re explains, the Machlokas over here. It does not go all the way back to Machtesha, but explains that the problem is here in Tuma itself, by Dachshav and Naftomim, and explains the Machlokas that way. Alright, we'll stop over here.